Hey, beautiful soul family, welcome along to the Introspeak podcast. And we are so blessed and fortunate today to have the beautiful Crystal Ryan in again today. Today is going to be something super special, but something that we each share some similar experiences with in our own individual health journeys. But it's something that we're deeply passionate about now that we're coming through and are on the other side and, you know, really making new headway into our path of self-healing, reconnection, and self-discovery. So welcome, Crystal.
Thank you, John.
So special having you here again and in our new space.
Yeah.
Because we've been to the lounge and we've tried to make it work in other spaces, but it feels, feels a bit more purpose-built now.
It feels really beautiful to intentionally drop in with this, as I feel like, our paths and our journeys have been so infused and intertwined, and to have a real intentional space of reflection here feels lovely.
Cool. So let's start on that, because our connection and our synchronistic starting point, it was very meaningful now when we look back, and I've been really blessed and grateful for everything that we have kind of dovetailed through and with, and connecting new and different people. I still work with some of those people no matter where they are in the world. But your particular journey, do you want to kick it off by sharing, like, this whole purpose of this podcast is talking or addressing, you know, many things that in the Western world would become quite disconnected and disassociated with when it comes to our own body's personal ability to transmute, alchemize, find new ways of healing and connection. And we've both had our journeys of disconnection in our own right. Do you want to start by letting the audience know, those that don't know you, what your journey's been like thus far in the last kind of, what, few years that we've known each other? It's probably 2.5-3 years now.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. I feel there's this massive misconception out in the Western world of when our bodies communicate to us, it's an issue or it's a problem. It's something we need to fix and get rid of. And I feel like in our journeys, it's been this beautiful opportunity for us to actually be introspective.
Totally.
And to direct our gaze inward. And I love how you said, oh, do you want to share on your journey for the last 2.5 years to start a journey only 2.5 years ago feels like, to take it actually a step back before that, before my body actually started to communicate, because actually coming to more the root, which Western medicine, we don't really tend to look towards the root, was definitely, coming from a long time of always feeling like I needed to do more and be more. Yeah. And that came from really not knowing how to process my own disconnect and my own lack of control in my life when things externally to me were going on, and had, you know, losing my friends in high school, distant relationship with my dad, troubled family. I lived in like 6 different houses in 8 months, and it was just this time in my life where things felt really disconnected and out of control. And in order to feel like I had things into control, I was took to controlling my body.
That's right.
I took to controlling my diet, my exercise, my achievement, all in this means to try and achieve love.
Yeah.
Oh, if I look this way, then I'll get love. Or if I get top of this grade, then I will, perhaps have my dad come to a
celebration,
just to feel celebrated when I couldn't celebrate myself. And it really started to feel nice that I got this external validation. And so the neural pathways in my brain started to create of, well, when you do more, then you get love. Oh, okay. So all this time in my body and in my nervous system, it was being wired that we need to do more in order to be loved. So my love, my safety was becoming conditional, not to my awareness.
Yeah.
And this took all through high school, all through uni. I was constantly going, constantly training really hard, constantly studying, working, always okay, how can I do more? How can I improve myself? That's when the personal development stuff started coming in. Oh, okay, I can make myself better. Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Not just my body, not just my grades, my actual personality.
Mm.
Shit, yeah, let's go. Okay. And that was, yeah, that was my identity. When people asked how I was, oh, I'm busy. people knew that. That was part of my identity. I was someone who's constantly had things on the go. And all this time, I was having little niggles from my body communicating to me of, I would pretty much be sick with a cold most weeks.
Yeah.
And then I'd do the healthy supplements all the week.
Yeah, yeah, the Band-Aids.
And the Band-Aids. And then back again, I would have little niggles with injuries. My body saying, you know, slow down at the gym. Slow down 6 days HIIT training. Slow down. But yeah, it was so wired within my body that this lack of safety, this lack of survival, if I slowed down, that it was terrifying to me at the idea of stopping. I actually remember just feeling so overwhelmed. Actually, once I finished university, because I finally didn't have someone telling me what to do.
Yeah, in terms of like lecturers or...
In terms of just everything, direction and guidance. And I didn't have something to prove myself towards, almost like university achievements and things like that. And I was looking over my shoulder like, what? I've got to do it by myself now. And I was asking my parents, I was scrolling Seek, I was looking all externally to me. Oh, my friends are doing this, I'm going to do that. And because I had more out of control in my life, I took to doing what I knew how to do and control. So I even amped up my training even more. I amped up my restriction of my eating even more. Mm. Can I make myself physically better? Can I make myself emotionally better? Actually, I don't even think I really had much awareness of my emotions. It was more my actual being. Could I make my being better? And took on more jobs. So because I didn't feel like I had the tick box after university of having tick society of success, go to university, get the degree, get the job in relation to that, get the house. I wasn't completing that. So I didn't feel like I was doing enough. So
like a sense of failure.
Sense of 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally resonate.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, that's I think that is truly the pandemic that we're in. It's got nothing to do with anything related to viruses or anything. It's actually this kind of pandemic of people being disconnected within themselves and like not having enough self-love and self-worth, like trust within ourselves. You know, because it's just like at the end of the day, if we were all in a space collectively where we loved and knew that we were enough and that we trusted that we are okay and safe in our bodies, then the way that we actually interact and relate to each other would totally shift a whole paradigm in itself, right? Like we wouldn't want to harm someone else because, you know, why, when you love yourself, why would you need to take energy or put someone else down in order for you to feel more fulfilled or better about yourself?
That oneness within self and other.
Yeah, and just and even source. Making that connection, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, I am connected to this person. So like the more I help this person or the more I say just even a nice comment or give them a compliment, that also is something beautiful from, you know, the sending side as well.
Mm.
And I think that's the thing, right, is when we are basing our experience and our beliefs and our thoughts and emotions around that outside validation or the marks or the grades, you know, it's very hard not to look at that and understand that that's not the only reality. Like that's just kind of almost like what we've all been conditioned in that whole matrix of understanding is that, like, you know, even the way that finance, money, health and education, it's all geared to create people that fit inside that box, right? And then along comes a couple of people that want to break out the box because they fucking think the box is messed up. Or our life journeys show us that no matter how hard we work or strive or give, it never is enough.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a really messy space where you get to in that kind of like one or multiple breakdown points where you're like, holy shit, like I'm trying to get that stuff or achieve those things.
Mm-hmm.
But flat on the floor, like, or the body's just paying us out.
It's like that you talk about and I always remember the image when you mentioned it first. I think it was one of our first sessions together, this dangling carrot of success.
Yeah, yeah.
That and that's what it felt like. Oh, when I do this, then I'll feel enough. Then you get there and oh no, it's the next thing. It's the next thing, and it's this carrot that you never reach because it's all externally in your belief. It's all externally to you.
Mm. And so that basically we've been conditioned to be lack based, like we don't have enough now, or we're not enough.
Mm.
And if we do more out there, which supports a system which is just really broken and pretty corrupt at the best of times,
yeah.
Like. It is separating all of us as well, because as soon as we get a certain amount of lack or scarcity or hardship in our experience, then people start to want to get energy from somewhere or get, you know, validation from somewhere. We start getting way more, it even doubles down our competition between each other.
Mm.
Like the separation gap increases. It doesn't get less and less and less, because we're already taught that, you know, you get grades, you compete against each other. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's a sports day or whether it's your bursary exams. I don't think there was 1 year of educational upbringing where I didn't feel shit of whether I was doing enough or smart enough or good enough compared to other people.
And it completely, not only that, it also is beating out of us our intuition.
Mm.
Oh, no, you go to the toilet when I tell you. You do this when I tell you. This is due when I tell you. You're supposed to look like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like
sleep a certain number of hours a day. Eat a certain food. It's just like, yeah, so totally. So that's one of our core topics that we're going to talk about today, isn't it? Like an intuition. So on your journey, so coming through some of those challenges, the contrast at the start of your journey, when did you realize in your body that something was really wrong? Like, so the audience gets a perspective. How old are you now?
23. I didn't think about that for a second.
Me too, because like, how many years have it been? So when did you start to realise that something was misaligned? Like what age? So, because there'll be a lot of people transitioning from college, high school into uni and that need to understand this.
It's a scary time. It's a really scary time in my experience because you're out of the nest and, okay, it's all this newness and we're wired to fear newness. It started to be where my body was communicating quite loudly. So I was ignoring the illness, the injuries, I was ignoring the illness. But I remember I couldn't stop. Like I was saying, my body was so terrified of stopping that it was unfathomable. Unfathomable?
Mm.
That word.
Yeah, we can make up whatever words we want. It's our podcast.
I like that. Yeah, and you know, I couldn't nap, I couldn't meditate, I literally just could not stop. I remember saying to my friend, like, I wonder what people who finish their full-time work do when they come home and don't do another job. I remember having this thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so yeah, body was communicating and I had this awareness that I couldn't stop, but I started to have this awareness that, okay, I think I need to stop because I started to have quite a lot of digestive complaints. So quite a lot of pain when passing stools.
Yeah.
From memory, that's when I started to have a little bit of blood in my stools. And that's normal. I'm sure everyone has that. But I remember lying in the sand dunes, crying on the phone to my mom, like, I just can't make it stop. Like, I can't stop. I know I need to, but I just can't. And this is around the time where we connected. So November, I would have been 21, so two years ago. And that was through synchronicities. So
totally. What you seek is seeking you, right?
Exactly.
So from my side, I'm like wanting to connect with amazing people that have had the challenge, the journey, like round where I would have started my challenges. So that's why I was so motivated to come back from my age now and kind of jump back almost like a decade and a half to help people there, because that's where it truly started. Like that's where there's a lot of those seeds are really formed on that transition. And you were seeking someone in terms of different perspectives, helping to understand your body and digestive system and what's going on. That, because I remember you you didn't want to just go on pills or anything like medication wise. Like, I think we were both kind of raised a bit more naturally.
Through
our parenting and stuff like that.
Definitely. So I was kind of seeking naturopaths. I was seeking that kind of holistic treatment. And that's when our connections with you started to blossom. And that just felt, aligned. And I had that beautiful accountability to actually start to slow down. And I actually started to meet these parts of myself that just wanted to do more and be more, and it started to make sense in my head of, I can understand, these occurrences in my past that led to me resourcing things externally. I see that. I'm starting to be with these parts of myself, or more so just meet these parts of myself. And I started to slow down a little, but I still wasn't really slowing down as much yet. I still had some rushing.
It takes a bit to shift the beliefs, right? Like the awareness, because really in that first session or two, it was out bringing understanding, like, what's happening here? Like, what is my body communicating? How am I currently operating? Like, where are my energy drains? How, like, where's the bleed from our aura and our energy field? So, that really kind of has to be step one, eh? Like, for all of us, like, sharing our journeys is, like, self-awareness is, like, a master key. We have to have that before we can kind of, and even ask the question, like, is something out of alignment here? Before we can even start down that pathway.
So
we started, kind of working together, eh? And I remember thinking, we definitely need to do, like, integrative massage, like, Reiki massage, soul attention. Like, I kind of needed to get you back in body. That's what the feeling was in the energy field. I was like, why is this beautiful soul that's come to me, why is she checked out of her body a bit? And, like, scribbling my little charts and, heaps of sacral digestive stuff, eh? And we were talking about the sacral and its importance with sensuality, connection, creativity, self-love, all of the emotions. And, then we started to talk about those, the busyness and the got to keep going and the achievements and that. So it kind of started to unfold a story, hey?
Very much. I feel like the beginning of our connection was very much my inner child relationship with my parents. I feel like that's what was really landing for me at the start of our connection. And just for everyone's reference, like, when John was talking about my body, the expression of my body was, yes, the digestive complaints, but my body was just completely inflamed. Like, I don't know if you remember, acne.
Even all that, upper heart and stuff.
I remember even saying to you, like, don't massage my back. I don't want to.
That's right. Because it was front and back of heart, hey? I remember really clearly now.
And, body inflamed, but very thin, and I wanted abs and muscles and things like that. So that's what my body was like. But when I look back now, I look sick. I looked sick. I looked.
So to all them young audience, female audience, male audience now, don't be skinny. Dogs like bones. But it's just like, it's true though. You know if someone's healthy or not, right? You know if the energy in the body's aligned.
Well, but some people are naturally skinny, so I don't want those that feel skinny.
We're not shaming them.
To feel like they're not beautiful, because they are beautiful as well. I just speak from that my body looked sick, and I thought that I looked good. And yes, I beautiful partner at the time was like, no, we need to go to the doctors, like, to actually get to know what's going on here. Because to the point where I would finish a bowel motion and I would keel up on the ground in fetal position with blood and mucus, and it was just a shit show, really.
But your body was communicating really clearly, right?
My body was yelling at me.
So that's kind of like one of our most important segues right now into the topic of, so we go on these hero's journeys. We hit our challenges. We hit all sorts of random stuff on our journey that we don't quite understand, or no one has given us the education to understand quite yet in terms of the Western world, especially around body, energy system, medicines. Like, we've got a long way to go in the Western world. But then we make this clear transition into starting to understand like what is our inner voice and intuition, right?
Mm.
So let's segue into this topic right now, and I'll make a cool little marker. So intuition, that's something that and the emotions, understanding the emotional body, like how smart and intelligent and how much information the emotional energetic body holds in it. That's what I personally love. And I think that's kind of one of my superpowers. I'm like, whatever their body's communicating, I'm going to do my best to interpret, feel, and then relay it back in a way that they can digest and understand. Mm. Otherwise, you can't be too high and up in the clouds about it. I'm like, no, your body's communicating this. This is what it feels like it's saying. Can feel some stuff in the womb. There might be like abandonment, whatever it might be. And that's the goal. If we can, as we start to practice this intuitive gift and this emotional guidance system, it becomes a powerful ally on our journey of whatever it is, whether it's self-healing, self-empowerment, even expanding, like, you know, even things like hormonal cycles and stuff like that. We've got a lot of control once we start to listen, right? So do you want to talk a little bit about what started happening, like, after a couple of sessions? Because you started to pick up quite a lot more intuitive thought, from what I remember. Like, it was going from very mind outside focused to starting to really unlock and, you know, integrate within you. Like, that's what I personally noticed is like, whoa, she's just flicking me some voice messages and she's speaking differently. And like, you know, whoa, I'm like, yeah, that's right. Like, you did just interpret what your body was trying to communicate with you. And so, you know, just having that little mirror, right, of someone to say, no, that is right. Like, I can feel that. And you've just picked up that. So, yes, that's an intuitive hit. Starting to get that little mirror, hey?
Yeah. Yes. And I almost feel like that wasn't what I received from you, in the sense that what I received from you was the empowerment within myself that I validate myself that that's right.
Cool.
Because I know I was coming to you like, what's the answer? Tell me what's going on in my body. And I wanted you to feel into your body to tell me. But I'm so grateful that that's not what our connection was. And that what our connection was you actually turning, like holding up a mirror for me to turn my gaze inward, intentionally have that accountability of, okay, what's going on within my body? Okay, hi body, I'm listening. Okay, hello. But I almost, feel like, because that's what I came to you initially for, and it was still me resourcing my intuition externally to me. And that's when I was really into the Louise Hay, Abraham Hicks, Joe Dispenza, powerful, powerful healers around understanding and interpreting your body's communication, and also knowing that you are your greatest healer.
Yeah.
And I was using these healing techniques of positive affirmations and nurturing my body, and that was very much at the start of my journey. So after my diagnosis, ended up getting the diagnosis from the doctors.
What was it? So for anyone listening and doesn't know, Crystal, like what were you diagnosed with, like in terms of chronic
illness? So Crohn's, which is an autoimmune disease, and ulcerative colitis. And that was manifesting throughout my body. And so, I was using these techniques of, you know, my body's a great healer, and I was, you know, I knew as soon as I got the diagnosis that I can do this. Like, I had this vision that I would say to the doctor, or the doctor would scan me and be like, whoa, how did you do it? And I would have this moment of like, because straight away they were wanting me to have steroids and immune suppressing drugs and be on those for the rest of my life. But I was so terrified to receive that information because I'd been spending so much time reciting affirmations about being a powerful healer that I didn't see Western medicine for the whole first year of my diagnosis. I just went, nope, it's not my truth, and was on a journey. And like you say, as I started to inquire more within my body, I started to have little nudges of, not even actually nudges, things were just landing in my life. Like, a friend listened to a podcast that had a healer, like had a coach that I connected with, and you know, these things that were unfolding. But that first year was very much actually me just working on slowing down. And as I started to slow down, that's where I started to hear things louder, because we are the most connected to our internal guidance, our intuition, when we're rested. Because when we're rushing, when we're going, our minds are like,
yeah.
So even right now, whatever you're doing, if you're driving, maybe don't close your eyes. But if you're walking, you know, if you're doing something, if you're cleaning the house, let's just take a moment to just stop. And if you're driving, I challenge you to pull over safely. And to just take a moment out of your day to just be. To just be in your body. So if you'd like, and it feels safe to do so, you might like to close your eyes. Maybe you just remember that you have a body. Maybe you remember that you're breathing. And just seeing what you notice within your body. Knowing that numbness is also an expression as well. And taking a little moment of gratitude for this beautiful body that you live in. And everything that it's done this day, this week, this life, walking you around, delivering you this life. Maybe you pause it and you hang out here longer. We might keep chatting.
Thank you.
But, you know, I started to create these moments of more time slowing down. So times of being with myself. And ironically, I started to learn more about myself, not in the courses or the personal development things, but actually through just listening.
Cool. So the seeds landed. Because I remember I'm like still a massive advocate for slowing down and talking about like the deep dark dives and the 3 years of just going to the beach. And you know, it was only in that time and space on my journey as well where I just had so much external noise and projection and judgment on myself for all the things that I felt like I'd failed and didn't do, and the perfectionism and I guess at least on the beach, I was like, okay, dude, it's just you on you. So whatever thoughts are going through your mind, whatever old unresolved, like I used to just go over everything, like everything I could just remember, like mainly negative. To be honest, my mind was mainly focused on criticism and judgment in it, because that's how I was really felt my upbringing reflected through me. I felt like it was like never enough, never good enough, strive for more. Like same, really similar ideas to what you're talking about, but probably just for different ways that in which you got imprinted, especially if you're like one of five children, like, and you're like kind of like trying to put your hand up for attention or to know that, you know, like I felt like, you know, I was talking to my sister the other day and we were talking about, it was real top-down parenting, like in that generation, like hierarchy.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm the male, I'm the controller, I'm your father, you should do this, like, you know, whatever it might be. And, you know, I feel like we're balancing this out quite quickly now. Which is good, through everyone awakening to their own truth. But that message around never being able to receive your intuition if you're on the hamster wheel. Hey, if you're in that mode of always doing, always achieving. I mean, some people thrive in it. That's their soul path this time round. But I believe for a large quota of the planet that's going through a conscious evolutionary shift, many of us are awakening to our sensitivities and the power in which we can use those guidance systems and that knowledge and that information that even people's bodies are storing to help bring a deeper understanding of who the hell we are on a soul, spirit, mind kind of level, right? Not just the mind, but deeply integrated spiritual beings that are here for much more than just producing, manufacturing, or accumulating, right?
Yeah.
Because it's out of balance.
And the thing is, the reason I feel like, well, in my experience, that I started to realize was that I wasn't making time for wellness, so I had to make time for illness.
Mm.
And that, you know, when we aren't actually taking the time to slow down, our bodies will make us.
Yeah.
You can only go on the hamster wheel for so long until your body's like, whoa, 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 hang on, hold on a second.
Mm. So a lot of, for you guys out there, so Crystal's journey has gone to her kind of chronic stuff, and it was the same with my journey. Like, I've shared it a few times before, but we had really similar experiences, but like, you know, like all the way through school, didn't have many friends, felt more vulnerable in all environments, especially social environments. Like, if it came to speeches, standing up in front of people, communicating full stop, like expressing myself and my voice, none of that shit was online till well over 30. And you know, then like when it actually came to, like, after the 5 years of study, got the degree, and then started working at like the engineering company, I remember there was a core project where we're like just burning overtime for 6 weeks, just me and another dude. And we were like really specialized at what we did. There was no other help and support. And that just confirmed my narrative that I had about myself and life in general.
Mm.
You know, like, you couldn't ask for help. It's like seen as a, like, almost an honor badge where as either feminine in their masculine or a masculine energy running that role model. It's just like, don't ask for support, be independent, you've got this, like, keep on striving, you know, like, and, you know, it's those key belief systems that slowly over time or through a really big energy deficit period, that's what kicked me off. And I remember going to the doctors and GPs and I'm like, so how did I get this glandular fever? Like, what is chronic fatigue? How did I get it? Or Epstein-Barr virus, it's known as another name. And I'm like, it's like they call it the kissing disease. I'm like, well, I've only been with couple of people in my life. Like, and I'm with that one of them, like, as my current partner. And it's just like, how does it happen? Like, why is this red, its ugly head now? And from that moment, it was my beliefs around, similar to you, the work, like always working, always giving more. If you wanted to be like honored with a certificate or get a promotion, it's like anything you that validated your value, like even a pay rise. So many companies and areas of life use pay rises just to justify your value or to keep you on board and not looking somewhere else. So, you know, there was multiple stages throughout that whole kind of decade. But yeah, before I got married, like, that was really the core peak. Like, I remember being in Hamilton at the time and going to the cubicles pretty much every single day with like blood noses that I couldn't stop for about 25 minutes. Go to the toilet, like, stools again, bloody patches of my hair were falling out. Some of it was regrowing. Little baby, like, blonde, fine hairs, but I was really freaking out because, you know, like, one of my family members has alopecia. And I was like, holy fuck, am I going to get this? Like, you know, it's just like, and she was younger than me. And it was just like, so all of these fears were triggering off and like on a deep level. And no matter what I did, whether it was relationships, work, any of that stuff, I just never felt that I was enough. And slowly we go down, like, so with chronic illnesses, what I realize is the longer it takes you to get into that cycle and you hold that cycle, the longer the journey is kind of out the deep dipper.
Yeah. And I guess, isn't it so interesting how in both of our journeys at the root is that lack of feeling like we are enough. And so our bodies are like, hey, notice me. Hey, notice, connect with me, spend time with me, like, talk to me, see, hear me, listen to me, love me.
And but there was nothing around, right? I mean, probably different to where you are now, but when, like, where I was, like, the consciousness was heavy. There was no internet. Like, I think at that time we had dial-up, which was still really freaking slow. I think maybe just had switched to, like, having a telephone line and broadband so it didn't take over your phone line and get disconnected when someone called through. But there was no videos, there was no sharing, there was so all you had was basically what you were taught in those educational years, and that was it.
So how did you know?
Like, literally, like, I didn't. And I went all the way through my 20s, like, no travel, no partying. Like, I couldn't drink. Like, if I, the moments where I did drink, like, say it, we'd have like monthly floor shouts or midwinter parties and Christmas parties. They were fucking awesome. Like, super fun. But I remember one time when I was really kicking into the chronic fatigue net, I had like 2 beers and I felt like I'd drunk like 2 dozen beers. And I was just like, whoa, I've only had like 2 drinks. And I started sweating. So I started like relying on coffee to get me through, like just trying to pick me up. It was probably one of the worst things I could have done. But I still love coffee, but my body's way more regulated and rebalanced now. But that was it. And I would have one and I'll just profusely sweat. Or if I went and talked in front of people, just profusely sweated. So my body was never not in overwhelm. It was never not in its full fight or flight nervous system, I realized, because I'd be at my desk, headphones on, thinking I'm just jamming out and having a good day, but my leg was tapping, my fingers were tapping the whole time. And all of these were kind of signs that I never knew what calmness and presence and grounding ever was. Like, no one talked about it. So only really after that second cycle, like after the marriage, after that first whole relationship and my son was born and that ended, then went down to Weta and that, it was only really, it started to shift. Like, I attracted another partner and then some of the cycles continued, and I try to do sports and that throughout, and I try to do like indoor netball and stuff, but I would give it my all, but my belief was still, fuck, you've got to give more, you've got to go harder. But it's when you're in enough, like sports and those HIIT trainings and that, it's like your body just can't do it. It's like it has, it's like, and then it forces the complete opposite where all you can do, all I could do, like I couldn't run for 15 minutes. I couldn't surf, because if I surfed, I was out for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm in Wellington doing anywhere from 60 to like 80, 90 hour weeks on Avatar. And I was like turning up to yoga, backstrapped, like in the cross from the physio because my back had tweaked. And that was another thing, like all the sciatic pain and continual lower back and neck pain. So there was multiple layers and multiple things going on in my body, including the sacral. And it was at Wellington where I kind of found a couple of massage therapists. I'm like, can you please massage my stomach? And unknowingly, that was the start of me starting to understand, like, what was my, what is blocked here? Like, why can't I sit up straight, even in my chair like we are now? I realized there was no alignment. There was no energy flowing through these vital energy lines and meridians and chakra systems. And I didn't even know what chakras were then. So, yeah, it was only really once the internet came along and Mindvalley started kicking off and Gaia TV started a little bit later, talking about these ideas of like Eastern medicine and, you know, very heavily ground like Indian and Japanese culture, kind of like Reiki and stuff like that. I was just like, there's something about this. Like,
but I think that's the key there. Like, just like, I guess, massaging out, teasing out what you just said. It wasn't, like, yes, it was hearing it and validating it from external, but it was that igniting within you that's like, no, this is something. Because you could have heard that and just been like, oh,
I did
this Eastern medicine stuff.
Yep.
But it's the same as within me, that when these things are presented to you, they feel different in your body. And maybe you don't have to, like, understand or know what it is supposed to feel like, but just to know that there's a different sensation. Like, I remember the word somatics, when it landed in my body, it was like, oh, there's something here. Everything about that word, my whole body was just like drawing towards that. So for you and this going down that path, it was from that ignition. I'm making up so much words.
I love it.
Thank you.
Ignition, let's go. Ignition. The ignition and fuel. That sounds powerful.
Yeah.
So it's funny because even you just got me to reflect. I'd never done yoga before in my life. And like, my family was not really raised around that. We grew healthy foods and stuff. But, you know, and dad was into like reflexology and stuff like that when we were young, but it was never in like a professional context or anything. But I remember there was a cool, that animator, Taisuke, at Weta. He was in the animation department, different department. Someone's like, my friend's like, hey, do you want to come along to this yoga? It's like $5 at lunchtime, right by like some of our facilities. And we didn't really have that big of breaks. So it's kind of like, okay, if it was close and we could travel there, like next to the like digi facilities, then it was on. And so we just started and I'm like, holy crap, my body was all tight, hamstrings tight, lower back tight, no flexibility. And yeah, that was the start of that, even doing yoga, connecting It's like breathing. Yeah. Like people come in, it's like, have you heard of alternate nostril breathing? Have you heard of like the breath of fire? Like, and so it went from just that one guy. And then I started going on like Saturday mornings as well as like just me time, because I'd never really taken me time in any of my relationships. Mm. I had this, yeah.
That, to me, that's what yoga was at the start. Like it wasn't about the stretching or the movement. Like I remember the first time I felt my left hand meet my right and my right hand meet my left. I literally started crying in this yoga class. I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God.
My palms.
Hi. Wow. Because, yeah, in the expression of health coming up, I guess I'll speak from it was a very disembodying experience, like to feel this alien thing happening in my body. It felt really scary and like this body wasn't mine and I was trying to get away from this body. How do I fix this broken body of mine is what I thought and what I looked at. So there was a lot of numbness actually. So when people would say, oh, ask your body or oh, your intuition, it was
you're not even close to being connected to that, right? It's like there's layers, so many layers of conditioning on top. We are that source essence and love. What is this? What is this here in my mouth?
Yeah. John's looking at me, touching my tongue.
It's amusing.
What is this body?
But yeah, like it is so true though, because you know, you can watch things or read books or absorb knowledge, but as I think I taught you from day one, no, I need you to get in touch with your body. Like no one will know your body better than your body. Your body has all of that cellular memory, all of that biofield memory for every year of your life, for every part of your existence. And you know, I think that knowledge is amazing if you realize and truly understand that it is there.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you've never meditated before in your life or you felt so disconnected, once you get in the right container with the right person, it's there, and that person just shows you that yes, it is there. Look, this is what your body means and this is what it's trying to say to you. Can we interpret this and then see, okay, where in your life is this playing out?
Yeah.
You know, where are you, like, say, hips, glutes, like, where is the distrust, or where's the, like, money challenges, or, you know, or even the trust in relationships or trust in self. And, you know, it is highly intuitive, but it's really literal at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it can't, like, I find that the body just communicates really clearly. Like, if you've got shit you haven't digested emotionally, it'll show you some digestive problems.
Mm.
If we have, like, the throat stuff, like, fear of expression, like not feeling unsafe to be seen, to be heard, like so many layers around the face, the jaw, like the anger, frustration, the throat. So it is really, it's quite literal in its communication sometimes. And
Yeah. That's
why Louise Hayes is quite cool with that Heal Your Life book, because it's like, oh, here's the emotional or thought pattern, here's the physical outcome.
Yeah.
And that was a really pivotal little book that we talked about in your first podcast when you asked me what kind of little things helped me. And that was on the list. And Abraham Hicks was on the list of understanding how we create our reality.
Mm-hmm.
That was important to understand too. Like, where are my beliefs not serving me? Where are my beliefs around why I can't slow down and my body not serving me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So it's layers, right? It's not just like you go here, eat that food and it's done, or you go drink that cacao and it's done. It's like, no, we are multifaceted beings.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we've formed all of these layers in and on and around us, we've got a few layers and journey, a bit of a journey to go on in order to get down to the true root cause sometimes.
And I wish we could sit here and tell you, here's the recipe of how to heal from chronic illness, but it's so intuitive. And so I guess what is coming through and what we would love to share, and well, I speak from, yeah, I would
no,
love
it's to, us thought.
We're a collective, you know, is that relationship to slowing down, because, you know, people think, well, I used to think meditation was so hard because I thought that I had to still my mind, that I needed to be quiet. But meditation, if you look at it as just an opportunity to become familiar with yourself, then there's full permission.
Mm.
And, you know, meditation could look like just lying in the grass.
Totally.
It's that those moments of presence and those moments of intentionally taking time to connect with yourself. But before that happens, and what I have learned from my experience is that we get to create the safety in our bodies and our nervous systems to be able to slow down. because there were times when I was sitting there and my, I call her Gigi, go-go, my rushing woman, was just yelling at me, no, we need to be going, we need to be going. Like, I think that's, it was how I started to slow down was after sessions. Well, I mean, so many things, but one of the things at the start was after a session with you, John, to actually like need to slow down because I was so, my body was just really tired after a session because
there was
so much processing going on. So I actually had to rest.
Yeah.
And that's almost what had happened in my journey with chronic illness was I didn't slow down and I didn't love my body. So I was forced into slowing down because my same as you know, I actually couldn't do the things that I used to be able to do. And I was forced into loving my body as I watched it change because I couldn't do the HIIT workouts and the fasting and the, so I had to start to eat white rice. Oh, God forbid.
Yeah. Let's talk about Crystal, for those of you that don't know her journey, you got a full reset, hey? So, we were doing some sessions and you were doing some other things around the outside as well and connecting with circles and stuff. Like, we're trying to create circles as well. But your digestive system really pulled the massive epic handbrake, hey, when it came to showing you where also some of the layers that we needed to get to in terms of where those core root beliefs of, like, you know, even not feeding or nourishing, it was like literally full block up, hey.
Mm-hmm.
let's give a little bit of a highlight around how your food journey has looked over what the last year and a bit.
Yeah, and pre-context, I was such a foodie. Like, I was the vegan, like, health supplement, smoothie, fasting, raw gal. Like, I ate what I thought was well. And I always had a consciousness of nourishing my body, what I thought was nourishing my body. But I was nourishing my body from my mind, not nourishing my body from my body.
Mm.
I was telling my body what it needed rather than listening to what it needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to connect with this nutritionist who just came as well through synchronicities.
Mm.
And she was also a big support in slowing down because she brought in a real Eastern approach of warmth, like warmth heals and warmth as in gentleness as well. So wearing more clothes. I always used to wear just no clothes, but I still wear no clothes, but to the point where
now you've gone back.
Yeah. More so that it would be freezing cold and I would be more concerned with wearing tight shorts and a sports bra at the gym.
Yep.
Being cold instead of nourishing my body.
How many, like right now, think about.
Oh yeah.
The female population in that bracket that just wants to look like the external validation hottie. Yeah. Like, it's a big thing, right?
Sure, yeah.
And even worse with social media. I have mad respect for teens growing up right now because holy crap, man.
I look at 15-year-olds, I'm like, God.
Put some clothes on.
No, they're so...
Oh, the complete opposite.
They're so, like, wow. Wow, that's really interesting. I wanted to say beautiful, and that's that part of me that sees, fixing and changing yourself as beautiful. Hi, sis. that's beautiful to see that come up. But what I wanted to share was that, you know, these 15-year-olds, they look so much older. They've got, you know, this so much effort that they've put into how they look.
Mm.
And I'm like, it just blows me away.
Always that same thing though, right? The carrot. It's like, yeah, I want it. Because that's when you're young. Like, even remember growing up, most of the girls that were kind of in your year, they were always looking towards older guys.
Mm.
They weren't like okay with the guys for whatever reason. It's cool. But they were always looking for more and wanting to grow up quicker and wanting to therefore look more mature and, you know, wear less and more makeup and all of these things to help fulfill that outside facade and mask, which was a key layer that we managed to love our way through.
Food, we're talking about food.
So what did you get reset to? let's talk about how, because that was, because I remember receiving so many messages of, can you, like, I need to reflect, or I just need to, like, express something. Like, so many frustration layers, eh? Like, the anger, the frustration of not being able to do or enjoy all of those things. Even, like, you know, in social context, not being able to just go and eat what you wanted with some friends or gatherings, right? Mm. So you got the full one ingredient reset, didn't you?
Yeah. So my body started to actually not be able to process a lot of food. Because after the illness diagnosis, I still stayed away from Western medicine and received guidance from this nutritionist. And I really want to be careful when I'm saying this, that this is not something I recommend you go and you try out by yourself. I was supported and guided with someone, and it was specifically tailored to me and my condition.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up doing a white rice fast for 3 days. Which was just white rice and salt, because I'd started to actually switch from having cold smoothies and all this cold things to having warmth, nurturing, squishy, grounding, nurturing food, easy to digest, no flavors, no spices, no oils, basically stripping all the enjoyment out of food. But it still was, like, I started to see some improvement, but just still not enough. So we wanted to do this complete reset. And during those 3 days, so much shifted for me in my relationship to my body, which I feel like has been the root of my condition. The root of healing my condition was my relationship to my body. Because in those 3 days, I couldn't gym. And my flatmates were cooking beautiful meals, and so I literally pretty much just stayed in my room most of that time. And during that time, I was massaging, and I was sleeping. I slept pretty much most of the time. 'Cause our bodies know what to do, and they know how to heal. We just need to give them the
right environment, right?
The right environment.
It's like
so
the
rest.
The epigenetics thing that Bruce Lipton talks about. It's like, you know, that one stem cell can be put into bone or muscle or an organ, and it will replicate the instruction of the culture. So meaning that our cells, they're multifunctional, and they are programmable through our own intention and beliefs and awareness.
Mm.
But we just have to understand that we do have that power, and that it's not like, oh, my lineage has got liver disease or kidney failure, so I'm going to have that. Like, so many people believe that, and we're told that. Like, you know, doctors of the past used to have a lot of family generational knowledge. You know, I work with your grandparents and your parents, and, you know, so they actually knew a lot more, whereas now you turn up, it's 15-minute self-funded slot, like partially funded, and like you go there. There's no personality, there's no connection, there's no understanding, there's no let's talk holistically about what's actually going on in your life. Here's some antidepressants. You know, and that's what's fundamentally broken in the system that I hope has a full fucking reset. It's on a really good path now, I think, of all these holistic reconnections and integrative health, I'll call it.
Yeah.
Like, we need to reconnect the integrative health that used to be there, even in America, and that I can't remember the stats, but it was something like 2600 or 26,000 integrative, like, health pockets around the country. Wow. And when the big pharma and the medical stuff started to fund the universities and the courses, they all went down to, it was like less than 1% within a couple of years. Like, they threatened to take licenses off them and all sorts, yet they were fully functioning integrative health centers. You know, you went to the oracle reader and the surgeon and the doctor and the one talking about the foods and the intakes or cleansing the soul and diet. It was not separate. And that's why this journey's cool, and my journey's been really cool, because it was the remembrance, which is kind of probably where we're kind of segueing in now, the remembrance and reconnection. So if all health and all dis-ease and all disharmony is on a deepest level a disconnection from our true essence and true Christ consciousness, source energy, whatever you want to call it, then that's the journey back home, right?
Mm-hmm.
The introspect, the power to fold within and recognize that we are that. We are this beautiful energy, and we are love. And I have simply gone on this scenic tour off in the weeds, And that's what I felt from you from day one and what I know through my own path and journey. And I think on many levels, I recognize within you so many of the busyness, so many of the patterns and the beliefs. I'm like, we've got this. You've got this. Just come on this pathway and we'll start the momentum going in the right direction, start peeling a few layers.
Yeah.
But the reconnection to your soul and your spirit and your body is like that sacred trilogy, right? That's what was key.
Trust of that. The trust of that knowing, because it's all well and good to recite that. And that's what I was doing at the start. And that's because that's, you know, I received such awesome and strong trust from you in that. And so it felt right. So I was like, yes, okay, this is, I believe that, that's true. And there was definitely a part of me that trusted that. But you talking about this reconnection to my body, reconnection to my soul, it felt like I couldn't have the quote unquote negative parts of myself or the negative emotions in order to be connected to myself. Like that felt like I couldn't experience fear and I couldn't experience worry and doubt and shame helplessness. And so anytime I had this expression of my body, I had frustration at myself. And that was that other layer of this frustration at my, that I couldn't eat the same as everyone else, the frustration and eating away at myself, which if we look at what autoimmune is, right, it's the cells. I don't like saying attacking, but the cells not being able to identify themselves. So there's that.
It's like a dog eat dog internally.
Yeah, well, there's my body presenting what's alive in my mind.
Yeah.
Not being able to identify myself. Okay, hello, body. Thank you for that answer. But I think I don't want to say chronological order, but there's a journey to having trust at a genuine place, in my experience, because to actually be able to feel that and know that, there's always going to be fears. The mind is designed to have fears and to have doubts. And if we're ignoring them and suppressing them, then we just create this boil up within us, which I feel like this year has been what has been so huge for me in my journey, because I actually, at the beginning of this year, so 1 year into my diagnosis, I actually went and met Western medicine because I hadn't yet and I was so terrified and so
I remember avoidant. That call in the car. I remember those messages driving back from the mountain. You like flick me and like, just like go do it, because the fear is going to be way worse than like, oh, you know, that, like you said, that it's like fear is such an emotionally disempowering, like it's a heavy emotion, right? Judgment, fear, guilt, shame.
And if we think of fear, you know, that's that nervous system response. All blood and energy gets diverted away from your core to your extremities because your body thinks you need to be running from a tiger. Yep. So here I was trying to nurture my body. And I mean, that makes so much sense, though, that I had no energy in my core because I was having all this fear suppressed in my body.
Cool. So like, so you started there, you went on this journey of just like rice and then rice and beans. And then like you just started one by one to reintroduce things. And now sharing a dinner tonight with you, it's like a celebration of you and your journey and your becoming and your remembrance and all of these amazing things entangled into one. But that's why even this today, like catching up with you again, it's so, from even this side of the fence, it's so beautiful to be able to see not only that you had that power and capability within yourself, but as a powerful message to anyone listening that, you know, sometimes that hole feels real freaking deep and like really helpless and like others don't understand, especially towards probably the younger generation, because all that social shit's going on, the body changes,
isolating.
Hormone changes, like social anxiety is already high as it is, let alone with all this other crap added on. So, you know, there was like, I really resonated with that as well with you, like in those times where you like would say break down and feel alone. But then sometimes it's nice to have someone on the other side to say, it's okay, like we've got this, or you've got this, or, you know, reach out anytime. Sometimes just that to know someone is there or that we can should reach out to people, even at our lowest points. Like, you know, because otherwise that hole just gets so much deeper and self-fulfilling, like a self-fulfilling prophecy that I'm alone, I'm abandoned, I'm left.
And we look and resource externally of like, maybe it's food, maybe, well, and I couldn't even use food. For me, it was squeezing pimples and it was, you know, trying to control my body in ways that I can't. But yeah, I remember throughout my journey craving community, because it is such an isolating journey of feeling like no one quite can understand that expression of your body and how disembodying and scary and confusing it feels. Which I actually had a dream a few nights ago that I was in this camp with a whole bunch of other people with illnesses, and I don't really remember what happened too much in the dream, but I remember waking up and remembering that in the dream I felt this deep feeling of belonging. Cool. And so at 3 in the morning I had this idea of, I need to make a group. So I'm in the process of making a group, so we'll pop it in the show notes. Yep, but if you are listening and you do have some kind of expression in your body, whether it's illness, injury, I'm creating a community where you can just be heard and held and seen, and to also bring your journey and your story to be heard, because I feel like all of our journeys and stories, you know, they deserve to be heard, and also to know that you're more than just your health expression as well.
I mean, our health, when we get to the core of it and we get on our path, like, so what am I now, 41, just turned 41, and it's like, so what, 33 was my first energy healing session. So, like, from the start of that time all the way through now, like, as I shifted and made choices that were right for me, like, including relationship choices and stuff like that, like, our environment, even though we're, like, really body food focused in this chat, it's like our environment and toxicity with our environment is everything. It's like, who are your friends? Do they pick you up or put you down? Like, you know, who are your teachers? Oof. Where are we getting our knowledge and information from? And I think you'll probably resonate now with this, is you made a point before of, like, you'll feel the body sensation. And so, you know, I follow, like, or at times tried a lot of different modalities in that. But if my body wasn't like a full hell yes, that was really beneficial when it helped me, or it helped me bring strong awareness to something. If I got a bad vibe or like nervous stomach or anything like that, then, you know, it is really up to us to listen to that intuitive guidance and to understand that different people in different pockets will help you at different phases as well. Like, you know, you can talk about Abraham Hicks and Law of Attraction all day long, but even with my journey of loving that shit and helping people on so many levels of manifestation, if you've got core family lineage beliefs that are stopping, like, or that are creating scarcity or lack of time, like, you've got to address the root wound, the root core. It's like, there's weeds in the garden, man, and someone's Roundup in your garden too. So, like, you know, we've got to understand that all of these pockets are beautiful and powerful information, but sometimes there is a sequence of timing. Sometimes it's just a case of, I'm so fucking overwhelmed, I am ready to be ready within my own body. Like, I am calling this forward now. If this life that I've had or this challenges, I'm ready. And that's what I really recognized, I think, in pockets of your journey and especially in mine as well, is sometimes the wheels do have to fall off the wagon completely, because that wagon was on the wrong path. And like you said, even when you got to that space where you're learning to tap into your intuition, we've done multiple layers of, like, sacral healing, where we're working on your skin, your expression, because there was, like, blocks in your expression around you just being you authentically, you know, lining with your authenticity. But then, you know, from that moment, you know, the food stuff might have held there, but there was many other aspects that were coming online. Like, you know, the practice of self and, like, you know, all of those beautiful communities and spaces that you started to hold. So even though some of the food was still hanging, or the digestive stuff was hanging in there related to the Crohn's and stuff like that, there were many other breakthroughs that you were experiencing around it as well, like the skin working through multiple layers of that, and you stepping into self-empowerment. Like
that, yeah, I really want to oof with that.
Go.
Because I feel like I feel like that was the hugest thing. And I think that ties into the trust being genuine and the belief being genuine, because when you have someone looking you in the eyes and telling you that you have this condition, this label, and it's a chronic thing and you're going to have it for the rest of your life and there's nothing you can do and there's nothing that you can do that's going to help except this drug or this surgery, it's hard because you're looking to this medical professional who's supposed to have, you know, in your belief, knows their shit. They've studied for 10 years, they're, you know, maybe longer. Maybe they've been practicing for many years. They're supposed to be this, the word's coming out as like elder, you know, this wise person. And when they tell you a truth, it's hard not to believe that. And
or a perspective, we'll say.
There you go, yeah.
Because everyone's truth is their own unique truth from their perspective, right?
There you go, yeah. And zooming out from that, you know, that's applied with so many things of someone telling you something negative about yourself or someone telling you that, you know, that you're annoying or you're boring or you're lazy or things like that. And that's what so much of this journey has been for me, of actually being in my power. Because when I was there and I was having these people look me in the eyes, it would rock me. It would really rock me. And I would have many days of feeling completely out of my body. Like I went into this complete freeze, nervous system response where I went really submissive. I couldn't even say anything to the doctors. I just felt myself shrink small. And for the few days after, I even more had no sensation in my body. I felt really quite depressed and down and so scared. Trying to resource outside of me. Oh, okay. What's the answer? Just is it a pill? And by pill I mean natural. Like, is it a natural pill? Is it a breathwork technique? Like, someone tell me what it is that I need to do. Like, just give me the magic bullet. Which I wonder if people can relate to that. And yeah, to have this knowing within me that okay, there's something more here. There's something more, and that isn't it. And she was quiet at the start, quite quiet, but I always could feel her and hear her, and to the point where we'd be sitting in the appointments and she'd be like, fuck no, that is not our truth. That is not, forgive me, I didn't even ask. She just that's not my truth. And she was firm. But she was met with layers of fear and layers of doubt. And she tried to paint over the layers of fear and layers of doubt by not being with it and not addressing it. So I almost feel like in my experience, stepping into my power actually came from meeting the fears and meeting the things that I was avoiding. And I was painting over, so that my power came from this genuine place, because I'd almost cleared those layers, maybe cleared the layers or been through the layers, so that I rooted myself into firm foundation. I wasn't rooting myself into rocky turbulence of, oh, I am at peace, I am joy, I am love.
Yeah, like escapism kind of thing.
Totally, spiritual bypassing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's another thing, like, you know, that's a really good point at this point, like, is there is a core difference. Like, I'm a deep diver, and I had Chari on this morning, who's a deep diver, and Gemma on Sunday, who's a deep diver, all in their own rights, like sensuality, sexuality, body reconnection, couples reconnection, all sorts of things. And I'm a massive believer, like, I haven't become desensitized to emotion, because I'm so love the emotions. But it's just like, we have to dig deep. Like our shadow side of the yin and yang, the positive, the masculine, the feminine, it's like, again, coming back to the overall intent of us having this human experience, we are creator beings. And in on our soul level, there is no good, bad, right, wrong, positive, evil. Like that duality and that polarity, which does create a lot of our expansion of what you experience in the physical, it is actually the honouring and going into those deep, dark places that led to my biggest breakthroughs. Like by going down to massive depression land, by wanting to not be here like two or three times in my life, by having really challenging and somewhat controlling relationship dynamics when I was trying to find my way and just give love. Like, you know, it's actually when sometimes when people slam the fucking door at us and give us a shit diagnosis or their interpretation because they don't have anything outside of offering you that pill as an alternative. But sometimes that's the exact fucking closed door that we need, or the exact shit label that someone has projected or put upon us that really activates the fire. Like, do you know what? And then in that moment, then we have kind of like what I call this kind of like a universal recalibration. Like, are you really going to put up with that? Are you really going to accept that? And that's why I really reveled in those times and spaces where you'd flick me the messages. I'm like, Crystal, I don't believe that about you. Oh, well, you know, like I don't have the scientific medical background to say that, but on a soul energy level, I shoot straight. And I'm like, no, I don't believe that's your truth. Or you've got this. Fuck, that's one option and one pathway. But what else can you create? What other options and the millions of options in your creational power? There's other stories. And those hero's journeys can unfold. And so even for us to like start to be curious, and if we are met with a diagnosis, like many of my clients are, whether it's, you know, three endo surgeries by 19 years old and then potentially taking their ability to have children, or the inhospitable womb diagnosis, or you've got shit eggs, like all of the stuff I get every day. And I'm like, I don't believe that's your truth. And just by holding that energy, sometimes it's enough to create a catalyst to get that person to fold inside and say, oh, like, maybe, is it an option? Or I've never thought about that.
That's it. Is it an option? Right? Because then you've got this authoritative figure telling you this truth. Use that as that igniting fire of actually curiosity within yourself. How does that, how does receiving that truth feel in my body? Does that feel expansive and knowing? You know, ask yourself, what does knowing feel like in your body outside of asking this question, understanding the language of your body? Okay, does that feel like knowing to me, discerning? Yes, no, okay. Well, is there another option? Is there another truth? What is that like?
And that's why it's so crucial, that beautiful story that you gave around the doctor and looking that person in the eyes. Your body did what? Like, right? The communications of just like, not only was that news hard to receive, but your body was communicating to you, now that you understand a bit more of your intuitive guidance system, it was really communicating to you that some piece of this information that you're receiving is not in alignment with your soul truth. And that's when we get those really big body responses, like the or the butterflies or the nervousness in the stomach, or it's like, you know, relating to the guidance system, I always say, like, if your heart's open and expansive when you receive a piece of information and it feels soft and open, cool, follow that path. Like, take that and take that curiosity and pick a path on that page. But if it's the opposite and you get that real butterflies, much like meeting a dude at the bar, if it's like butterflying and nervousness and like a bit of like something doesn't feel right about this, it's like, yeah, the butterflies aren't love. That's like your body's nervous system showing you highly intuitively, like the four brains, like gut, stomach, like the heart, like the mind, and then your soul energy. It's like we've got so much more intelligence than what we've been led to believe. And, you know, even that, those little pockets or those seeds of consciousness that can help open up a different pathway or a different story. That's why I believe the Joe Dispenders, the Abrahams, the Bruce Liptons, the Greg Bradens, like the Deepaks, like the Wayne Dyers, they're planting seeds of potentials and possibilities. So, you know, seeds of potential in a quantum field of potentiality, that's what's important, right? So now I'm stopped talking and you can talk to this point of potentiality. I think this is a really nice segue given the goosebumps and what our bodies are intuitively communicating.
All of my cells are just dancing right now and you're getting goosebumps.
So this is our bodies just interacting with each other on like, now we're getting to the juice.
Now I'm goosebumps. Oh, what are they called when your hair stand up?
Yeah, so that's like that intuitive guidance. When you have a resonance across two people or a practitioner and someone coming with a challenge or a problem, the solution is already there.
Mm.
I firmly believe that in every single moment. If there's a problem, there's the rockets of desire and there's the solution held on your higher self and your soul level. But just understanding that that field of potentiality is fertile.
Oof.
And whatever we plant in it or other people, we allow others to plant in our field, then that can become equally as valid for us if we accept that limitation or that label. Mm. So it's like reinforcing the placebo effect. That's what it is. Exit camera.
To offer a seed of potentiality. Really want you to feel and receive these words. I back you. That's it. I back you. We back you. We back your body. And better yet, if you have the opportunity to look in the mirror right now or maybe you pause it and you create a video on your phone for yourself of you looking yourself in the eyes and saying, I back you. And then maybe that's a video you watch each day. That was actually a tool that I used in my journey because, you know, we have days where I felt really firm in my trust of myself. Like, yeah, I could totally do it. I can do this. Woo, I'm top of the mountain. Woo. And then there were days where I would have symptoms and I would go to a social interaction and I couldn't eat the same as everyone else and then all of the noise would come back up again. And a resource was having these videos of myself of when I did have that trust. And I would watch these videos of myself talking to myself, filling me with my own trust and my own backing, because it can't come from someone else. Because if it comes from someone else, yes, it might have a seed of potential, but and that's beautiful and useful, but the foundation of it needs to come from you. And that is your invitation of self-inquiry, of the layers that are preventing you from that trust and preventing you from stepping into your power. And that's, you know, where receiving support and guidance is really useful, but no one can give you that trust.
Yeah, because it's an experiential journey, eh? And even with the seeds, like kind of to expand on that point, like people can plant seeds in you, but you still have to tend to the garden. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much, sometimes so much intuitive stuff that flows through, like in terms of words and energy and releasing and, you know, even affirmations. Like, I'm finding I'm doing a lot of affirmations while people are in a relaxed state and even like throughout even massages and stuff, just affirming the opposite of what they're holding is that negative idea about themselves, so that while they're in that receptive space, they're also receiving the nurturing or the aromatherapy or the sounds. And, you know, that is the core part that a lot of people, I think, get disconnected with or disheartened on their journey. It's not that they're not going well on their journey. It's not that things are not changing or the potential and the seeds haven't been planted, but we must take the action steps or follow those little intuitive guidance steps as well. And it's like watering and nurturing the garden. Like, because otherwise, you know, you can have the seeds, but they don't sometimes necessarily land, or for whatever reasons, we're not quite ready to receive certain layers of guidance or information, but they're there in that field of potentiality. But we're the ones that kind of almost make that decision to like, yes, I'm ready to now nurture this.
And that's, I think, a really important thing to bring up as well, is something that's alive and present for me just in the last few days. I've started to have all this pain in my neck and I was
receiving some care with it, and I had this part of myself get really upset of like, oh my god, another thing wrong with me, was the words she shared. You know, another thing wrong with me, another thing that's broken, and I can appreciate that in a journey of illness it feels like, fuck, another layer, another layer, another thing going on. And yes, that's okay and valid to feel that way. And also, the more connected and safer you feel in your body, the more the body's like, okay, oh, here, there's also this, there's also this, there's also this. And that was something that I guess with our journey and experience together as well was, you know, all these other layers coming up, and to meet them with a sense of appreciation instead of a sense of feeling like it's further disconnecting from you. Because really you're never on, it's almost like you're never on, I want to say the wrong path, because whatever path you're on is actually for you in that moment to learn those
lessons. So, and so I guess that's the message, right? Like, because this is about like long-standing and chronic stuff, and you know how we are given these labels, and it's, there's a lot of disconnection within ourselves and society, and you know, and that is what's important. This is about the re-embodying and reconnection, but also you will go through this hero's journey, and you will look back, and the steps will line up. The stepping stones, as Steve Jobs puts it, you can never see the path going forward, but you look back and you can see each stone and each stepping stone. So. And, you know, there's nothing I really look back now. It doesn't matter how deep the hurt was or pain was, even if it held for a really long time, like over multiple years. Yeah, do I wish I could have done some more exciting stuff and adventure and travel in those times? Yeah, do I wish I could have maybe just let loose and partied a bit more? Abso-frickin-lutely. But knowing and helping so many beautiful people now, I'm like, do you know what? My soul was trying to realign me to my path, and I was a little bit off course. And none of that was invalid. It was all experience on multiple different levels, whether it was growing in trust or skills or confidence or learning a new craft. They're all valid. It's all part of our tapestry. The different colors, like, you know, instead of, we've now, yeah, and that's what, even the emotions, I just see it as like all of the paints in the palette now. Instead of just painting with like black to white and 50 shades of gray, you know, yeah, we get to paint with them all, and sometimes some of them feel a bit funky in the body, and sometimes some feel really liberating in the body.
I think that's really important as well. I guess we've, this whole time, really, we've been talking about, like, you know, really go there and go inward and to meet those layers. And something that I didn't do for a very long time in my journey, because I was so busy meeting those layers, was to also remember the joy and to prioritize having laughter in your journey and play, because it's huge. It's huge to experience that disembodying feeling. So to also have, it was something I used to ask myself, okay, what made me laugh today? Or how did I have joy today? And it was this moment of like, oh, okay, yeah, that gets to be a priority.
But when you're in that negative zone, if someone said, cool, what was awesome about your day? Like, as you will be really aware of, it's really freaking challenging. To find, it's like, you said what? Like, you, it's like, cool, your day was great. But yeah and it's like,
fairyland.
I found that even after coming out of like the really long standing stuff, it really did take me another few years of sitting with myself and on the beach and, you know, starting to do hot pools and showing up to way more massages and a lot of self-love and self-care and learning to love self again. That's a similarity in our journeys. It was like literally no matter how funky my body was feeling, I'd keep showing up to massages and keep showing up to, you know, even if it meant me just sitting on the beach, like where we got to that day where you're like, don't even know if I can do a walk. And I'm like, cool, let's just sit. And then we still did a walk that day. We had a chat. Oh,
that was terrifying. I remember feeling so terrified, like, of feeling like my body actually couldn't handle walking, and your trust, your faith in me was really scary.
But that's it. If it's unshakable, if you can, if we, and even what we individually do in our own unique ways as well now, if you hold that vibration of what is possible for that person and what you believe to be true in your heart for that person, then and only then do they have something that can bring close the gap with. If we go down to the problem of like the victimization or the challenge, we're on the vibration of the problem. So anytime that we even as like holding spaces and helping people, it's like, I really fully believe that the power of faith and belief in that person and holding their highest truth for them, there's some magic to that, eh? And there's no help if you both go down to like victimville. Like, and I don't mean that it's not a judgment. It's just a term, like, of same way as you can't give a poor person $1 million or lose all your money and then help that poor person. It's like, no, how about we hold that lighthouse of trust and security and understanding and compassion? And like, just gently, hey, like, I believe that you can do this. Like, let's do this together. Do you want to go for a gentle one together, even if it's like 10 minutes? And we did a short one, eh? But it was still a seed of hope that was planted in that field now of what is possible. And because the mind, it's a powerful tool, but man, it can be an absolute bitch when it's working against you, right? When those limiting beliefs have got some solid momentum on, and I'm not talking just like days, but months and years of momentum, sometimes that mental battle is one of the hardest things. And that's where the fun, the play, the laughter, or trying to find and create moments of that, even if it's hard, even if it's a few weeks late, but finding it somewhere, or listening to music, or...
Like, fun, you know, I think it's important for all of us to work out what our definition of fun is. Because for so long I felt disconnected from fun because I was putting my definition on fun was partying and drinking and being this person. And when I wasn't that, I felt like I wasn't fun. And when I actually inquired what fun was for me, fun was doing dancing and yoga, silly, and you know, just being silly.
Like freedom of expression.
Freedom of expression.
So whatever that looks like, whether it's movement or play or singing.
Singing, yep. Totally.
So when you think about it, that's where the journey starts, right? We repress and disconnect from all of the aspects that are truly and rightfully ours from the get-go, source energy, unconditional love. We are worthy. We are enough. You are the creators. Mm. We're disconnected from that when you look back at this one point and then you reconnect back with it. And it's just like, oh, life is meant to be fun. It's not meant to be all of those things that cause me so much disharmony and dis-ease in my mind, body and spirit. So, yeah. Is there anything, any other really important gems that you would like to share with anyone, you know, that is maybe in that journey or recovering or coming out of that journey? Or even like this is like a massive leg up to say, guys, don't even start. Like, even some people are like not even in that phase. Like, get it right at the start. Don't go down there. Don't feel pressured to be someone you're not.
And I think, like, coming out of it, the two, I guess, root remedies was my relationship to my body and my relationship to stress. And so if you massage that out or zoom out from that, if you're wanting to preempt a chronic illness, you know, looking at your relationship to stress, looking at your relationship to your body and to yourself. And I guess the way those two intertwine is being able to be with your body and be with yourself. The step one is creating that safety to be able to slow down and to be able to be with yourself. So I guess, what's coming through the words of nuggets of wisdom would be to start to take 20 minutes out of your day to do nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I remember the first time someone told me that, I laughed. I said, oh, who the fuck has time for that? Cool. All well and good. So if 20 minutes out of your day feels tangible, amazing, start taking that time of stillness to just be with yourself, let your body relax, your nervous system calibrate, your body knows how to heal when it's rested, and you'll be able to hear your internal guidance system more and more. If that feels untangible, I'm making up so many words.
Rock it.
Yeah, girl.
Roll with it.
Untangible. Use the time that you would have been taking, that 20 minutes of just being, to meet your rushing woman or your rushing man. So to meet these parts of yourself that don't allow you the safety to slow down, to actually have that time of curiosity of, okay, who is this part of me that is so terrified that they won't receive love and won't receive nourishment if they don't achieve and if they don't do more? Hi, can I be with you? Do you have messages for me? Is it from this lifetime or past lifetime? Is it from a lineage? Is it a belief from my parents? You know, actually taking that time to really hear and meet and be with.
Because it's self-inquiry process, so.
Yeah.
Like the awareness is like that step one that you're talking about. And then the self-inquiry, like, where has this come from? Like, is this even mine? I know I've got this fear of money or my fear of my body or whatever, sexuality, but who showed me that? Was I role modeled it? Was I just told or put down that created that belief? And that's why I just love working back on the cycle of finding that seed of where that did start and what made us originally feel that way or not safe or fearful within our home or environment or body. And yeah, I think if we start to be self-aware, like Tony Robbins, I resonated with this comment he said the other day, is like, the number one thing, if you could teach your kids anything, it's to identify cycles. And that's fully true for me. Like, if there's a pattern, I'm like, I'm going to sniff that shit out and find it. Like, yep, why, where did it start? What's the belief that was formed? And, you know, what's still playing out? Because everything is just a cycle and a wave. And there's a start of a wave. There's someone's dropped the pebble in the pond somewhere. And it's just rippling out across this continuum of time. But, like, it is somewhere. Something started that energy and that movement. And, you know, and through that awareness and identifying, like, related to stress, that was our core component as well, the crossover. Stress was the biggest thing for me. It took my body and everyone else's body down. It will cause inflammation. It will cause illness. It will cause disease. So even identifying the beliefs that are stopping us from slowing down and parts of our, maybe our life and our experience that are kind of bleeding or taking too much energy too. Like if we're in the work that's demanding too much, if we're in imbalanced relationship cycles, if we are even maybe just in our own cave, listening to this in our own lonely place of just having a single bedroom flat by ourselves and not wanting to connect with it, there's a belief that's keeping us there or stuck in that space. So, you know, really just be curious about, ask the question, as we'll talk about with journaling, right? And auto writing, ask the question, see what comes back.
Yeah.
See what the guides feel our higher self has for us. And, you know, because if we don't ask the questions, we don't ask big questions, we don't get big answers.
And that's it. Like, it might come back with numbness and as in sensation and no answer at the start. That's okay.
Yeah.
The important thing is that you're taking that time, and it's a muscle. You know, the more you're taking that time, the stronger it's going to get. So the 20 minutes of the day is to just be is that time of strengthening that muscle. What was coming through for me as well, which I really want to, I guess, close on and finish with, even though I feel like we can talk about this
all day. No, we're good. This is a good time.
Would be remembering your wholeness. You know, that there's these parts of yourself or this expression is simply that. It's a part of who you be. And you in your wholeness is pure love, pure light, pure radiance. And when, like how John's been talking about this whole time, like of that, holding that light or remembering that light to create that acceptance of all parts of you. So that any one moment, rather than sinking into the knowing that you are this part or you are this expression, okay, this is me and this is also me, this wholeness, this wider experience. And that's been huge for me and my connection to Source, Universe, God, whatever you want to call it, was remembering that wholeness of myself as everything else.
Mm. Mm. and that deeper spiritual awareness has just come through the journey as well, right? You would never be in this understanding that you were this beautiful, whole, holistic being or on your pathway of progressing, growth and development if not for that journey. And that's why we look back and say, thank you for that dis-ease or disharmony in our body or all that punishment or sadness or depression or anxiety that we felt, because, you know, it was a teacher, and the lessons that come from it can just keep unfolding the gems. So, yeah. As always, if you have any questions for Crystal or myself about either of our work, like, we both support in our own unique ways and, like, really different approaches, but all, like, part of the same beautiful tree. So reach out to myself or Crystal. We'd be happy to answer any questions. And, yeah, we'll put some show notes in where they can find you and keep in touch if you've, like, your little community that you're starting.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, so thank you so much. Again, and thank you for coming to celebrate tonight with us with the first meal that we've had for, like, since the beginning almost. So, yeah, really special, and thank you so much. I'm so proud of you for believing in yourself, so proud of you for saying yes to you to even connect with different people along your path. You have to say yes, right? Otherwise, the universe cannot deliver. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Looking me in the eyes from day one and believing in me.
So worth it, right? We all are. Okay, so massive love, and yeah, it's going to be a beautiful journey of as we each unfold.
Yeah, and so much love. Thank you for everyone tuning in, and see you perhaps in the community, or see you.
Yeah, we're going to have our communities and portals up and rocking next year, and it'll just keep expanding and keep activating people. So,
enjoy being.
See you guys.
Bye.